Darkness is not an affirmative force. It simply reoccupies the space vacated by the light.
This is the Hamilton Corner on American Family Radio.
And Urban Family Talk.
It should be uncomfortable for a believer to live as a hypocrite.
Delivering people out of the bondage of mainstream media.
And the philosophies of this world.
God has called you and me to be his ambassadors. Even in this dark moment. Let's not miss our moment.
And now, the Hamilton Corner.
Good evening. Welcome to the Hamilton Corner. I'm your host, Abraham Hamilton III, and I am joined, as usual, by the J-Squared contingent, Mr. Jason Tross to my right, Mr. Jeff Reed to my left. Hannah is out today. Never fear. The Hamilton Corner team is still here. What a day, what a day, what a day. So many things are happening all over our country. But we can never get so busy where we forget that the first ministry God has called us to is to serve our families well. Most of you are making your way right now from your part-time jobs to your full-time jobs, and I want to encourage you as you do so to set your hearts to love your families, to serve your families well, to look for the opportunity for quality moments. One of the things my wife and I have learned is that the quantity of time, the more opportunities we create with our families, gives rise to quality of time. What do I mean by that? We can't pre-plan or pre-schedule. Ooh, let me look at my schedule. Let me pencil in that heart-to-heart conversation with my teenage daughter. No, let me look through my schedule. And let me pencil in that moment when my wife really knows I love her. You really can't do that. Quantity of time gives rise to quality of time. Of course, you can plan particular moments, you can plan particular celebration, but what I found that quantity of time sets this foundation, creates the opportunity, develops the type of rapport that's necessary that allows those heart-to-heart moments to come to fruition. So when I'm talking about being a part of our family, serving our families well, let us do so with intentionality and being mindful of the fact that if we don't disciple our children, if we don't cultivate our families, the world is waiting for our neglect. Amen. Well, I want to offer the reminder, man, this time is flying by. We're already in the latter part of January, and I'm looking forward to joining the brethren in Vicksburg, Mississippi this weekend while I will be preaching at the Emmanuel Baptist Church in Vicksburg, Mississippi. The address there is 6949 Highway 61 South in Vicksburg, Mississippi. Zip code 39180. That address again is 6949 Highway 61 South, Vicksburg, Mississippi, 39180. And the church is the Emmanuel Baptist Church. I am looking forward to joining the saints of God there and just locking arms with the family of God, man. Just locking arms together to make this stand. If you haven't noticed yet, we are living in crazy times. If you look at all of the scriptural criteria for living in the last days, you kind of take off a tick sheet. You can check it all off. You know, we're living in the last days. But guess what? God has deposited us in the earth in this time. And he desires for us to be faithful in our generation, just as our ancestors in the faith were faithful in their generations. So with that, let's turn to the word of God. Just want to have a heart to heart conversation around this one verse, Proverbs chapter 28, Proverbs chapter 28, verse 1, Proverbs chapter 28, verse 1. I've said it before and I'll say it again now. Proverbs is the genre of literature. It's called wisdom literature. It's one of the few places in scripture where you can evaluate an individual verse and glean the fullness of that individual verse because it is a compilation of wisdom sayings. That's what the book of Proverbs is. It is fully inspired by God, contrary to what Andy Stanley may passionately yet misinformedly state, that the First Testament or the Old Testament is the Word of God just as the New Testament is. The Old Testament or the First Testament was the Bible that Jesus had. The First Testament is the Bible that the Apostle Paul had. When the Apostle Paul says that those things that are written aforetime are written for our learning, that through patience and the comfort of what? Scripture. we might have hope. Paul is talking about the Old Testament. When Paul writes to Timothy and he says, all scripture is God-breathed, guess what he was referring to? The Old Testament. So I'm sorry, Andy Stanley, but you're just wrong, man. You're just wrong. You're just wrong on that one. You're wrong on a lot of ones, but you're certainly wrong on that one. But getting back to this, Proverbs chapter 28, verse 1. I'm going to read this verse. Here we go. The wicked flee. The wicked flee when no one pursues. But the righteous are as bold as a lion. I'm going to read it again. The wicked flee when no one pursues. But the righteous are as bold as a lion. You know what this is telling you? Cowardice is endemic to wickedness. Right at the core of wickedness, you'll find cowardice. The wicked flees and nobody's chasing them. The wicked run and nobody's running after them. In fact, this is one of those, you know, Hamilton Corner factoid moments to show you how our judicial system is founded upon a Judeo-Christian ethos that in every jurisdiction around the country, I've tried homicide cases and I've done this myself. In every jurisdiction around the country, prosecutors can make a request to the court for instruction to the jury, and if you're not familiar with the trial, when the trial is over, the judges do what's called charging the jury, where you read through the jury instructions, where you're giving the jury instruction. In every jurisdiction around the country, prosecutors can request that the judge includes within his instructions in homicide cases when there are facts that indicate that the party who has committed the murder, that they fled the scene. You can ask for an instruction that says flight is evidence of guilt. You can ask the judge to instruct the jury to consider as affirmative evidence of a charged party's guilt to consider their fleeing when no one is chasing them as evidence of guilt. In a particular case, one of the last homicide cases I tried, an individual, I was in Louisiana trying this case, an individual committed the murder and fled to Texas. And we were able to track his movements through, I won't tell you how we were able to track it. I don't want to give all of the secrets. The prosecutors are screaming right now to radio, Abraham, don't tell him. I'm not going to tell you how we tracked him, but I was able to pinpoint. In fact, I'll tell you guys, I have the big map in my office to show we were able to track his maneuverings from Louisiana all the way to Texas, charting it. And I said, Your Honor, I'd like to submit this evidence as constructive and affirmative evidence of guilt for the jury to consider it. The judge says, Mr. Hamilton, you got it. The judges know in this country, flight is evidence of guilt. Why? Because they know what Proverbs 28:1 says. The individual judges may not know, but our founders know it. Flight is evidence of guilt. Why? Because verse 1 in chapter 28 of Proverbs, the wicked flee when no one pursues. To say it the way I used to say it back on the block, what you running for if you ain't done nothing? The wicked flee when no one pursues. But look at this contrast. But the righteous are as bold as lions. Just as I said, wickedness is endemic. Cowardice is endemic to wickedness. Boldness is endemic to righteousness. One of the tangible evidences that you and I are indwelled by the Spirit of God is that God makes us bold. I want to encourage everyone listening to me right now. If you are a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, the time for timidity is over. Now hear me well. Boldness is not synonymous with belligerence. Boldness doesn't require us to be obtuse. Doesn't require us to speak louder than other people. Doesn't require us even to respond to every issue. But what I am saying, that when the Spirit of God requires of you to move, you move. When the Spirit of God has made evident the position of righteousness, we are to respond. We have suffered in our country a dimming of the light of the Lord's witnesses because all too often we have misconstrued timidity with grace, timidity with piety. Listen, timidity is not synonymous with piety. Hear me well. Boldness doesn't require us to abandon the fruit of the spirit like meekness. I tell my son all the time, we have this little thing we do where you flex the bicep and then you smooth it out. Because what is meekness, son? Meekness is strength under control. Under control. But it's still strength. We talk about Jesus when he kicked the money changers out of the temple. He called them robbers. Again, this is where the criminal law background comes in. There's a difference between a thief and a robber. Why? Because a thief is one who takes another's property. The legal terminology there is asportate. Big word. You don't need to memorize it. A thief will asportate clandestinely, secretively. A pickpocket is a thief. But a robber is one who takes someone's property by force or threat or intimidation. And Jesus referred to the money changers as robbers. Well, the Bible tells us Jesus plaited a whip. He didn't just run into the temple swinging all out of control. It was strength under control. You know how much time it takes to plait a whip? Where he gathers the individual strands and he plaits a whip. And then goes in and does what he has to do. What I'm saying is the time has come for the Lord's bride in our country. And we have testimony. We talk about how the body of Christ is standing in all other countries. I've talked about Pastor Wang Yi in China. This brother stirs my soul considering how he's willing to stand in the face of the Chinese government. And he says, if this is what it takes for the gospel to get to China, I am glad to suffer. That's what he said. While here in our shores, we have people who profess to be believers. They're debating whether or not what God's word says is sin is actually sinful. Give me the Chris Carter, come on, man, on that. The righteous are as bold as lions. Now remember, bold as lions. Do lions roar 24/7? No. No. Lions don't walk around the jungle all day long, just raw for no reason. But when it's time to roar, do you think the lions are silent? No. What I'm saying to you, you look at the clock, the time is far spent. My man Will, director of Urban Family Communication, says we're in the fourth quarter. You know, in the sports games, when the players hold up the fours, why? Because this is the last opportunity we have to do whatever it is we're going to do. Now is the time to do it. The righteous are as bold as lions. It's the wicked who flee when no one pursues. The wicked who flee. And I'm not saying that we need to imitate the methods of the world. I'm not saying any of that. What I am saying, the time has come to settle in your heart. For Christ I live and for Christ I die. For Christ I live, and for Christ I'm willing to be ridiculed on social media. For Christ I live, and for Christ I'm willing for people to say, well, he's just way out there. You know what? The Lord said I'm a peculiar person. When the Lord saved me, man, he saved me. He saved me. My life is not my own. No longer it is I who lives, but it's Christ who lives in me. The unfortunate reality, brothers and sisters, we have too many people that profess to be believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, but we live practically as atheists. We live as though there is no God. We live as though there is no King of glory. We live as though we don't understand how David said to his brothers when Goliath was talking that trash on the other side of the valley. David said, man, is there not a cause? Is there not a cause? Is there not a reason? Is there ever a time to stand up? If now is not the time, then when? What is it going to take? Are we the proverbial frogs in the boiling water, that the water is, the temperature is being increased ever so slightly that we don't even recognize it? Well, we're enjoying our Amazon Prime and we're enjoying our streaming data and we're iPhoning it and Androiding it and we're Dolce & Gabbana in it and we're pursing it and we're suiting it and we're doing all of this, not realizing that the temperature is increasing. I've said it before and I'll say it again. Satan will never tell you it's finally time to do what God is telling you to do. You're too young. And then by the time you get ready to do what God wants you to do, Satan comes in. Ah, you're too old. Let the young people do it. Listen, today is the day. Today is the day. If you don't yet know the Lord, today is the day of salvation. And if you do know the Lord, today is the day of obedience. Why? Because eternity hangs in the balance.
Religious freedom isn't free. Hi, I'm Matt Staver with Freedom's Call. Governments around the world are taking steps to quash religious freedom. Just recently, the Chinese government created church-free zones around schools. They are requiring places of worship to submit the names of their youth members. Minors are even prohibited from believing in God. These sweeping anti-Christian laws have come quickly for the Chinese people. This is just an example of what can happen if religious freedom is not defended. Religious liberty requires constant protection and preservation. Advancing religious freedom here in America is one of our top priorities at Liberty Council. This fight is a battle for the heart and soul of our nation. I vow to always fight for the inalienable right of religious liberty. Please join me in praying for the many Christians around the world that have had this right taken away. And stay informed at Liberty Council's website, lc.org. That's lc.org.
This is a Decency Minute. I'm Bill Johnson. 42 million in 2018. That's more than just a number. Each of these aborted children is a living soul that was violently murdered in what is supposed to be the safest place on earth, a mother's womb. Each one not only had the potential to glorify God, but was created for that exact purpose. Each one was knit together by God's hand to sing His praise, to show gratitude for the life they'd been given and for the graces He would have shown to them. We who are yet living have lives to glorify God, to sing His praises, and to show gratitude for the life and graces He has given to us. Shine the light of God brighter than you have, driving back the darkness a little further. Let your love for life shine brighter, speaking truth into a culture of deception and lies. This is a Decency Minute. I'm Bill Johnson.
Ryan Fisher here with today's Life and Liberty Minute. The government shutdown, of course, could miraculously be resolved at any minute. However, I would say that's impossible. That's because what the Democrats want and what the president wants are utterly incompatible. The president wants to protect our national security. Democrats want voters. In 2011, the Democratic Party turned its back on European Americans in favor of cobbling together a coalition of everybody but white folks. In order to make this strategy work, they need more and more immigrants, legal or not, to enter the country and get registered to vote. That's how they turned Orange County from solid red to solid blue, and there's a chance they could do the same thing in Texas. Meanwhile, the president wants to stop criminals, drug traffickers, and human traffickers. President Trump is right, and the Democrats are wrong.
Catch Brian Fisher on Focal Point, weekday afternoons at 105 Central on American Family Radio.
Shining light into the darkness. This is the Hamilton Corner on American Family Radio
and Urban Family Talk.
Welcome back to the Hamilton Corner here on American Family Radio and Urban Family Talk. Thought we were done with New York, huh? I have more New York stuff to get to, but before I go there, just as I said on this program, Vermont now wants to follow in New York's footsteps. But not only do they want to follow, they want to kick it up a notch. What am I talking about? Well, in Vermont, they already have an extremely regressive framework that allows them to basically kill babies for whatever reason, at whatever time. No problem. Vermont has a bill where they're planning to amend their state constitution to allow a baby to be killed up into the ninth month, up into the 40th week of gestation. I say that because we say 9 months, but normally it's because it's 9 months from when we find out a woman is pregnant. But the gestational period is really 40 weeks. But leaving that on the aside for the moment. Man, this is sad. Yesterday, lawmakers and activists, you have to be activists for this kind of stuff, in Vermont introduced a bill to enshrine abortion on demand, in utero baby murder on demand, up until the moment of delivery of the child, to as a state constitutional amendment. Yeah. In addition to allowing this wickedness into their state constitution, they haven't passed it yet. This is a bill that was introduced yesterday. In addition to seeking to amend their state constitution, the legislation that would amend the constitution also says, quote, a fertilized egg, embryo, or fetus shall not have independent rights under Vermont law, end quote. You see what's happening here, guys? Just like New York, the state of Vermont now is joining the bandwagon to strip preborn children from any rights whatsoever. Folks, this is Nazi Germany. You know how we decry Nazi Germany for its wicked attempts to perpetrate genocide on Jewish people, and also they also killed people who had physical disabilities. The Nazis wish they could have accomplished what we've accomplished here in our country. You realize in Nazi Germany, they killed, I don't want to say only, not to minimize it, but the tally commonly discussed is about 17 million people. Where in our country, we're reaching 60 million babies since 1973. And I've said before, but I will say it again, one of the Jedi mind tricks that wicked people would attempt to do to trick themselves into thinking what they're doing is okay when they're murdering human beings is to say, oh, no, they're not human. Think about it. Just think about that for a second. When they are committing gross atrocities on human beings, they're not human. To the Nazis, Jews are not human. To those who had disabilities, the Nazis called them useless eaters. That's what they called them. You can do your own research. Useless eaters, unfit to live. Muslim terrorists, jihadis, you know what they do to allow them to perpetuate their evil? They say the people that they're killing are not human. They're called the kafirs or the infidels. They view the kafirs as subhuman. That's why it doesn't really matter what you do to them because they're not human. Can I bring it closer to home? You want to know how the slaveholders of the Confederacy justified their barbarism against darker-skinned image bearers, darker-skinned people who bore the image of God? They say, oh, you know what? They're not people. They're property. The term was their chattel. The term chattel meant they're no different from the dresser drawer or my truck or this horse here that I own. They're not human, so we can do whatever we want with our property. You see the continuous theme here? And that's exactly what those who are advocates for death. You know, I'm just trying to tell it like it is, man, to lay it right on the line. Because we are so wicked and twisted and demented in our thought processes. Let me say it this way. Think about this. If you knew a person who had a pet, and unfortunately, let's say their dog Fido. Fido got to the place where we have to put Fido down. Imagine for one moment you had the veterinarian and the person who owned Fido who said, man, you know what? We should be proud of what we did to Fido. Let's celebrate euthanizing Fido. The American culture would say those people were sociopaths. Don't believe me? Two words. Michael Vick. Anybody remember his story? Michael Vick, famous football player, found out he had a dog fighting ring going on in his home to where some pit bulls ended up fighting to the death. American society almost said, lock him up and throw away the key. So much so, some people even got mad when he got a contract to play football when he got out of jail. But many of those same people who are mad at Michael Vick, they support the ones who say, shout your abortion. I'm proud. Think about that, folks. Our collective consciousness in our society has more regard for animals than we do for babies. And I said it yesterday in hopes of cutting through the political rhetoric and cutting through the crazy and speaking directly to our hearts. Don't kill the babies. Yet in Vermont, they say, New York, we'll raise you one. You just passed a bill. We will enshrine it into our state's constitution. Folks, I hate to say it, but these won't be the last states. The legislation in Vermont, good gracious. It permits law enforcement in Vermont, should it pass, and I want to be clear, it hadn't passed yet, but Vermont already allows abortion unfettered. So whether or not it will pass and be added to its constitution, it seems like it's going to happen. The legislation that was proposed this week, in addition to what I've already shared with you, it prohibits state and local law enforcement from prosecuting, quote, any individual for inducing, performing, or attempting to induce or perform the individual's own abortion. I wish y'all could see Jay Tross's eyes. You heard me right. They are attempting to expand the access to kill children to allow people to do it to themselves. Folks, please don't be the frog in the water. Don't be the frog in the water. We are way beyond Roe versus Wade. Do you even realize Roe versus Wade only allowed for abortion in the first trimester? A lot of people don't even realize that. That's all Roe allows. And this is why I am telling you, I said yesterday about we don't have to wait until legislatures pass laws. We don't need to wait for Roe versus Wade to be overturned, man. Let's cry out to the Lord that they will know that the heart to kill these people, these babies, these humans, every chromosome that exists in your body was present at conception. And you've even had people among the intelligentsia. I said, what's the difference between killing the child in the womb and killing the child once they get out? Which is why as many on the other end of the spectrum, sometimes some of the elders among us, why would we keep them around? Folks, we need a conscience in America. And guess what? Conscience comes from one place, the Spirit of God. Now is the time, folks, to welcome the Lord, to move us, to welcome us to man, where we get a passion for his gospel, where we love him enough. We love him so much that we can't help but speak his truth, because it's the wicked who flee when no one pursues, but not the righteous. Not the righteous. And notice the Bible didn't say not the self-righteous, but let the compassion of recognizing what God has done for us and in us drive us to move beyond where we are currently. There's more, and I'm gonna share this with you, because there's more that the state of New York is doing, but I'll get to that in a little while. I want to share this next bit of information with you just to show you the lunacy that we're facing in our country. And this, Mr. Tross brought this to my attention. Well, you have a state legislator in California. We're going coast to coast today. This woman Hannah Beth Jackson. She was a chairwoman of a legislative committee in California. And she announced the adoption of California's of her committee's new rule to no longer use what she described as binary pronouns. I want you to listen to her and see her get caught in her own rule. Please play clip number one.
We are now a state recognizing the non-binary designation. I'd like to note in respecting the fact that we are now a state recognizing the non-binary designation as a gender, he and she, we are now merging them so that we are using what my grammar teacher would have had a heart attack over. We are using the phrase they and replacing other designations so that it's a gender neutral designation of they, and we've done that through most of the, basically that's the primary reforms and revisions to the committee rules. So, and I appreciated Senator Mawning observing that the chair is she, but in the spirit of gender neutrality for the rules of this committee, it now designates the chair as they. So the world is a different place. My grammar teacher is long gone, and I won't be hearing from her. And if any of you... From them, exactly. From they.
Did you hear that? She's announcing we're no longer using binary pronouns, but in the process of announcing her rule, she violates her own rule.
This is Ultimate Dodgeball.
She violates her own rule. Now, why am I sharing this with you? Because too often, the conversations around these issues have been boiled down to emotionalism and not reality. But can I tell you that attacks on the image of God as reflected by pre-born babies, attacks on the image of God and he making them both male and female, attacks on what they describe as toxic masculinity, all of these are efforts to mar the imago Dei beyond recognition. And they are attacks on the authority of Scripture, and they are attacks on the gospel. Now, why would I say that? The fundamental foundation for us identifying human beings as human beings is because our Lord said he made mankind in his likeness and image. Little people, little human beings, are image bearers. The foundation for the identification of men as men and women as women are based on the scriptural foundation when the Lord said he made mankind in his likeness and image. He made them both male and female. Folks, this is grounded in Genesis chapters 1 and Genesis chapter 2. Well, guess what? If we can attack that description, the distinctions between maleness and femaleness, if we can rip a child from the womb, then why then should we believe Genesis 1 and Genesis 2 are authoritative and applicable to us? If we can provoke a societal and cultural questioning of Genesis 1 and 2, guess what comes after 1 and 2? Chapter 3. Guess what Genesis chapter 3 tells us? Genesis 3 tells us how death was entered into the world. Death is a product of sin. What is the only remedy for sin and by consequence death? It's Jesus Christ. But if we allow Genesis 1 and Genesis 2 to be placed in a corner and removed from societal import, then why should our young people believe that in Genesis 3? Probably end up with questions like, well, who says something is sin? What is sin anyway? If we yield the ground on the imago Dei, if we yield the ground on identity, masculinity, femininity, and marriage, we very well may be pulling the rug out from underneath ourselves concerning the very gospel that we believe is the only way for eternal life. This is why I say it's not a laughing matter. This is actually a gospel issue.
Question, do you have a health insurance plan you are not happy with? Well, Bethany and Jason thought they were stuck. Their plan just kept getting more expensive, and Bethany's favorite doctor didn't even take that plan anymore. And then some friends at church told them about MediShare.
With our previous insurance, we were paying $1,200 a month. With MediShare, we now pay around $600 a month.
Yes, they're paying $600 less per month, and that's a pretty typical savings with MediShare. And they actually like MediShare more.
I was able to go back to my original doctor that I absolutely loved, and it's just been an absolutely beautiful thing being a part of MediShare.
Yeah, so they pay a lot less, and they like it more. No wonder MediShare is growing so fast. Find out more. They're super easy to talk to. All you have to do is call 855-PSALM-23. That's 855-PSALM-23. 855-PSALM-23.
Thinking biblically about race. This is David Wheaton, host of The Christian Worldview. Martin Luther King Jr. Day is a national holiday this week that commemorates Dr. King's impact on civil rights, particularly for blacks. A half century after Dr. King, the issue of race is still contentious in society and the church. Because resentment resides in the heart, ethnic divides can never be bridged through laws, quotas, reparations, or shaming. Jesus never focused on ethnic divisions, but rather proclaimed repentance and faith in himself, which transforms the heart and the treatment of others. As the Bible says, believers are all one in Christ Jesus. Hear an interview about race and racism at thechristianworldview.org. This weekend, we'll discuss reparations for slavery.
Listen to The Christian Worldview with David Wheaton, Saturday mornings at 8 Central on American Family Radio.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with news and commentary next. Many years ago, a wise newspaper editor asked me a question about what kind of journalist I wanted to be. Would you rather be first or would you rather be right? In other words, don't rush to judgment. Make sure you have the full story. The other day, a group of young boys was publicly shamed by the national media, liberals and conservatives. They accused the students from Covington Catholic High School in Kentucky of mocking a Native American activist and shouting down a group of black Israelites. But it turns out there was more to the story. Other videos showed the Native Americans intentionally pushing their way into the crowd of teens, and the black Israelites were spewing homophobic slurs, calling the kids all sorts of hateful names. You can watch the video for yourself at toddstarnes.com. There was a rush to judgment here, folks, and I suspect it was because many of the boys in the crowd were wearing Make America Great Again hats, and that's deplorable. I'm Todd Starnes.
The Hamilton Quarter podcast and one-minute commentaries are available at AFR.net and UrbanFamilyTalk.com. Back to the Hamilton Quarter on American Family Radio
and Urban Family Talk.
Welcome back to the Hamilton Corner here in American Family Radio and Urban Family Talk. I'm not done with California just yet. There are new health guidelines that are being proposed in the state of California. Let's go ahead and buckle your seatbelts. That are proposing to teach children as young as 5 years old. Yes, you heard me right. 5 years old, that there are as many as 15 genders. The guidelines promulgated report that children in kindergarten on up will be taught to reject, quote, gender stereotypes, end quote, and to embrace transgenderism as normative. Nothing wrong. Nothing wrong. He, she, they, them. And we are careening off the cliff. You know, you heard the slippery slope arguments. We are careening off of the cliff. You want to teach children that we have as many as there are up to 15 genders. Facebook told us a long time ago they had, 50 genders? And it's one thing to consider this solely in light of social engineering. But the reality, folks, is that we're talking about the gospel. One of the things that our society has done is that they have reduced fidelity to God's word to hateful bigotry. Not realizing, and the reason why I tell you there's a cliff over there is because I love you. I'm not warning you about a cliff out of hatred. I'm warning you because I love you. These are the things that are happening right now in our nation. We will open the phone lines this segment if you'd like to join the conversation. Anything we've discussed today is fair game. If you want to talk about the scripture in Proverbs 28:1, where the Bible says that the wicked flee when no one pursues, but the righteous are as bold as a lion. We can talk about that. If you want to discuss Vermont joining New York, but even going further by enshrining in their constitution the unfettered right to murder a child up to birth. Up to birth. We can have that conversation. I didn't even mention how New York's Governor Cuomo celebrated by lighting up the buildings there with pink. Man, it's utterly despicable. It's utterly despicable. And you know, when I get the arguments, you know, nobody's perfect. Nobody's this. That's right. That's why we're sharing the truth. You know, the thing about the gospel is that the basis from which we share the gospel is such were some of us. That's how. That's how. We're not offering you something that we have not partaken of ourselves. We are offering you what we recognize we were in desperate need of. You know, I've heard it described, the gospel presentation being described as one beggar telling another beggar, where they found bread. Man, I was once begging, but I found bread. Let me show you where the bread is hot, where the bread is warm. You know, the Krispy Kreme donut shop, they have the hot now sign. Well, what we're offering is a response to the live now sign. Folks, there's a light year's worth of difference between inhaling and exhaling, existing and living. There's a light year's worth of difference because inhaling and exhaling with eternal damnation as you're in, man, you're just breathing to death. But it is submission to the lordship of Jesus Christ, receiving his salvation, is how you move into life. This is why I tell people, man, eternity has already started. John 17:3, and this is life eternal. To know gnosko, that is an idiom for intimate, to know the true and living God and his son who he has sent. Do you realize when we transition into the eternal state, what's going to happen is as we will transition as we are. Revelation says, let him who is filthy be filthy still. Let him remain in the condition. To say it differently, if you have set your heart to live life without Christ, you will spend eternity in that same fashion. But what we are offering is the way to eternal life. There's more. And the thing about New York, and I don't know if I mentioned this yesterday. If I did, forgive me. But in New York, do you know they've been trying to pass that bill for 10 years? The same bill was presented for 10 years. But you know what happened? Because there was a Republican majority in the New York Senate, the bill always died in the Senate. Well, what happened this last election? The former Republican senators lost their elections. And so having a new slate of Democrat legislators in the New York Senate, they were finally able to pass a bill that they had been working on for 10 years. Now, why am I saying that? Am I saying that to talk about partisanship? No. The reason why I'm saying that is because all too often the wicked are more committed to their wicked agenda than we are to God's agenda. 10 years in a row, many times knowing that their bill wouldn't pass, they kept bringing the same bill. I saw some of the same things happen in the Louisiana legislature, where you had people advancing wickedness, and they even knew it. But they kept coming. They kept coming. They kept coming. If you want to join the program, the number to call is 888-589-8840. The number to call again is 888-589-8840. Zero. We will go to the phone lines now. We will start in Mississippi, where David is on the line. David, thank you for calling the Hamilton Corner. Welcome to the program.
Hey, Abraham, can you hear me?
Yes, sir. I can hear you very well. David, go right ahead, sir.
Hey, I just wanted to, number one, say thank you for your passion for the unborn and And the heart that you have for the unborn, and it really was expressed through your, you know, last night with your, tearful plea about killing babies. And I just want to say that God's judgment will be on New York. You know, Proverbs, I think it's chapter 6, which has the 7 things the Lord detests, and one of them is the shedding of innocent blood. And those babies, like you said, they need to have a say. They're not given a say, and because we don't want to deal with the consequences of our own actions, we decide to eliminate them. It's it's a horrible, horrible thing. And your life, my life, everybody's life is orchestrated by God, knit together in the womb by God. And I cannot, if people would only think about the potential that might have existed with somebody aborting a child, could that person have brought the cure to cancer? Could that person have, been involved with some major medical thing that we're dealing with right now? We just don't know with the 63 million children that have been aborted since Roe v. Wade, whether or not one of those people could have brought greatness and helped our society as a whole.
Thank you very much, David, for your call and your comments, and I share your passion for the unborn. But I want to offer this contribution to our conversation, because if those of us who are celebrants of life from conception until natural death, we have to be very careful that we don't hinge our commitment to life, hinge that commitment to what could have been produced in their lives. It's a very utilitarian view of that life. It's really, to be candid, the view that pro-aborts take, because they evaluate the utility of the life and compare it to the life of the mother. No, we celebrate life because it is an image bearer. Regardless of what the children become later on in their lives, the reason why we fight to protect it is because it is life. Because of the inherent value, no matter what they may become, no matter what they do. Because that is how we're able to say that life is valuable, whether it is a homeless person on the side of the road, whether it's or if it's a person who is an astrophysicist. The value of their lives isn't determined by what they do. The value of their lives is determined by the fact that they are bearers of the image of God. There is inherent value there because God's image has been emblazoned upon that particular bearer. And so I just want to offer that as an encouragement to recalibrate our lives. That's why no matter if a child has a terminal illness, they're precious in God's sight, which is why they should be precious in our sight. A child that has autism is precious in our sight because they're precious in God's sight. The preciousness of that life isn't determined based on what they do with it. It is because it is inherently valuable. The sanctity is connected to the one who authors it. Back to the phone lines. We go next to Tennessee, where Shane is on the line. Shane, thank you for calling the Hamilton Corner. Welcome to the program.
Hey, Abraham, can you hear me?
Yes, sir. I hear you very well.
All right, great. I just want to thank you for all that you do and the team there. I agree 100%. I also just want to say, if you turn to Romans 1, you know, verses 18 through 32, mm-hmm. It is amazing at how on point that passage is with today.
Headline news.
exactly. You know, suppressing the truth and unrighteousness, and it is just, it is 100% there. And, I'll let the line go open again, but, you know, keep on, you know, speaking out.
Thank you for that, Brett. I said Brett. Thank you for that, Shane. You're absolutely right. And one of the things that's amazing in that passage, right at the top there, right about verse 18, it said that wicked men suppress the truth in their unrighteousness. Suppressing the truth is very different from being ignorant of the truth. In order to suppress the truth, we have to know what the truth is. You want to talk facts, folks? Everybody know it's a baby. We know it. Everybody knows it. Everybody knows it. That's why they're having to manufacture the legislation, to change the laws. You have all this inconsistency because we know it. But what's worse, we don't care enough. Not all of us individuals listening to this program, but the people who support it. And so it is the wicked conduct, the wicked conduct of wanting to engage in the physical activity that by its very natural course produces a child, but not wanting to have the fruit of that conduct. We suppress that truth by our consistency, our desire to engage in wicked conduct. And if we really want to be honest, this death covenant that we have in our country, this death covenant that has been monetized with our very own tax dollars, is really a death covenant shrouded in our idolatrous commitment to illicit sexual activity. If we want to be honest, it's the overflow of our worship of sexual immorality. This is not to be condemning. You guys know how I feel. But this is the truth. In love, I must be tied to truth. So it's not that men don't know. It's that we suppress the truth by our wickedness. Back to the phone lines. We go next to Arkansas, where Brett is on the line. Brett, thank you for calling the Hamilton Corner. Welcome to the program.
Thank you. I was just wondering, the way things are going, and they're saying that having the women's rights, mm-hmm. and it's their body. Well, okay. What about these congressmen? If their moms are still living, they're still a burden to them. So would they be okay with their moms that's 70 or 80 years old saying that their 40 or 50-year-old son or daughter is a burden to them, and they want to just have a doctor to put them down? Would they be okay with that?
Good point, Brett. Good point. And what Brett is talking about is, how is this happening? And I shared yesterday the legal jujitsu that is applied. For example, the New York law on its face says that it only allows abortion for babies up to 24 weeks old. But then it has a huge exception, wide enough to drive a Mack truck through, by saying that or up to 24 weeks, or where there's an absence of fetal viability. What does that mean? It's not defined. Not defined very well, I'll say it that way. Or there's another or there. Or the abortion is necessary to protect the patient's life or health. Now, that sounds very flowery, life or health, but is that defined somewhere? Well, yeah, it is. It's defined in the companion case to Roe versus Wade, and it's called Doe v. Bolton. I shared it yesterday, but I'll share it again. What are the factors that determine the mother's health that are taken into consideration that would allow this exception to apply, to allow them to kill their children at any point in the pregnancy? I'll tell you. All the factors are physical, emotional, yes, you heard me right, emotional, psychological, familial, or even the woman's age. Folks, these words mean for any reason whatsoever. So if a woman in New York shows up and says, well, I need to kill my baby, why? It negatively affects my emotions. I don't feel like I'm the right age. My emotional health can be negative, and this is, I'm sharing this to show the callousness levels that we've reached in our country. I am so sorry. I have callers holding. I won't be able to get to you today, but Lord willing, please call back on Monday. We'll open the phone lines again. Thank you all for tuning in to the Hamilton Corner.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.